Can you imagine what that is going to be like when we stand in His presence one day? Will we stand? Will we kneel? Will we bow? What will we say? Will we say anything? We will worship Him throughout the ages of eternity. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no death. For the former things will have all been done away with. Jim, I have a big roar. Is this one off? There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Electronics is amazing. What would we do without it? Take your hymnals. I'm not going to sing. You're not going to sing. But take your hymnals and turn to number 43. I-86. 86. Bethlehem. Bethlehem is below sea level. The first word that was heard for 400 silent years from Malachi to Matthew was a baby's cry in the lowest of the lowest. Emmanuel, God with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Think about that for a minute. The lowest of the lowest. Bethlehem. The least of all the cities, the prophet Micah had said. But the place and the sovereignty of God that He chose to birth His only begotten Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you feel lowly, when you feel discouraged, when you feel defeated, when you feel despondent, the last line of the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, the first verse says, the hopes and fears of all the years, past, present, and future, are met in thee tonight. What fears are you dealing with? What questions are running through your mind? What obstacles are you facing that seem to be so insurmountable? What disease has struck your body or a member of your family? Tim, our son-in-law, unexpectedly lost his 27-year-old cousin. Was funeralized yesterday afternoon. No one knows. But suddenly, he dropped dead. The fear of death, the fear of disease, the fear of failure, the fear of life itself. And when you look at the world today and you look at all that's happening and taking place, if you dwell on it long, you'll lose sight of hope. Because hope in a world that will one day pass away will never fill the God-like vacuum that he created in your life and in my life. So, who is Jesus to you? Who is he? Is he just someone that you know about? Someone that you've read about? Someone that you've heard about? Someone that you've heard a loud screaming preacher like me preach about? Who is Jesus to you this morning? Today, 73 years ago today, on a Sunday morning, some of your relatives were in a place called Pearl Harbor. Their hope was in the mighty power of the United States Navy and Army and Air Force and Marines. And they went to sleep that Saturday night, never expecting to wake up on a Sunday morning when well over 3,500 lost their lives unexpectedly. Hope! The fears and hopes of all the years are met in thee tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We will begin reading at verse 13. Stand with me, please, when you find it. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But who say you that I am?" Now look up here for just a minute. Jesus is going to be leaving these men in a short time. He's not going to be there. Although he is not going to leave them comfortless, he is going to send the Holy Spirit of God to indwell them, to empower them, and to fill them. He is not going to be there standing with them. They're going to have to begin to live what he has poured of himself and his Father into their life. Now ask yourself this question this morning. When the tough and the difficult times come, when the hard times come, when the times that it seems like your world is caving in, where is your hope this morning? Who is Jesus to you? And he said unto them, "But who say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Father, may we know you today in a way that we have never known you before. By the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit, will you transform and change us by the incarnate word of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be born in us today that you may truly be Emmanuel, God with us, so that the hopes and fears of all the years in our life may come together and find their peace in you. And you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The world has an understanding this morning. The world has an understanding that is so different, so foreign to the understanding, the true meaning, the real interpretation, the real appreciation, the facts of who God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit really are. And that we are created in His image and His likeness, and that He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and that we became a living being. We are the only part of creation that He created in His image and His likeness. And He made us like Him in such a way that He gave us the freedom to choose, to make choices. And so Jesus is addressing the importance that those men know who He was. That He was not just a miracle worker. That He was not just a person who seemed to have the answers and did have the answers to all of their questions. That He was not just an individual. He was not some great scholar. For even the books, John tells us, could not contain all of the record of Him and what had been written about Him. Even the world itself, the library of the world, could not contain Him. And so Jesus asked this question, who are men saying that I am? You see, each one of these builds on the other, because you see, the world's interpretation largely is influenced, hopefully, by our understanding of who Jesus is. If we are going to be salt and light, if we are going to move beyond the manger and we are going to change our homes and our families, if we are going to change our places where we work, if we are going to change our communities, if we are going to change our schools, if we are going to change our neighborhoods, if we are going to be salt and light, then we must know who Jesus is. Who do men say that I am? Well, some are saying that you are John the Baptist. I wonder why they would say, why John the Baptist? Well, you see, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. His parents, he was conceived, and Mary's cousin Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, and he was born, and he spent the silent years in the wilderness, and then suddenly he appears on the scene eating wild locusts and honey with a camel's coat and a wide leather belt around his waist, and he's not your Madison Avenue preacher. He is so vastly different from all that the society of that day, the culture of that day understood, but his message was, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist. Why John the Baptist? Because John the Baptist came in the power and the demonstration, filled with the Holy Spirit of God from his mother's womb, the scripture says. A man anointed with authority and with the word of God and with the power of God and the presence of God to fulfill the purpose of God to prepare the way for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist. Some say you're John the Baptist. But then some say you're Elijah. Elijah. Elijah who performed 8 miracles. Elijah who called fire down that consumed the sacrifices and consumed the water in the trenches and licked it up, the scripture says in the old King James. Elijah.
A man of like passions, the scripture says, as we are. And he prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years. And then he prayed again and the rain came. Elijah. A man that was connected with God. A man that had a passion for God. A man who stood on the authority of God. And who believed the inerrant, infallible word of God. That was truth without any mixture of error. A man who was uncompromising in his teaching and in his authority. And in his doctrine of that day and of that time. Oh, but some say you're Jeremiah. Jeremiah preached for 25 years and he had zero converts. But he was God's prophet to God's people. He delivered God's message to God's people in a time when they didn't want to hear what he had to say. You see, Jesus came into the world to deliver God's message to God's people in a time that the world was in utter chaos. Rome was in control. People lived under the oppression of Rome. And maybe this morning you're sitting here and you're feeling like you're living under the oppression of the world and all that's happened and all that's taken place in your life. And one place in the scripture, and every good Baptist ought to know that verse, Jesus wept. Oh, at the tomb of Lazarus, John 11:35. But oh, it was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He wept for his people. He wept for his people who had been blinded by sin and blinded by the culture and blinded by all of the isms of that day and that time. Blinded so much so that they could not open their hearts to a God who loved them unconditionally. And was more ready to forgive them than they were to ask him for that forgiveness. He preached in a time when people didn't want to hear the truth. Church, I'm not a prophet, nor a prophet's son. But I am a prophetic student of the word. And I believe we are moving back into that direction again. When the world does not want to hear, and their hearts have become hardened, and they've adopted everything except what God chose for them in the beginning. Jeremiah. He wept. Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, 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 Jerusalem. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does your sin and the sin of this nation and our world cause you to weep?" But then one of the other prophets, and there are many others that we won't take time to mention this morning, but one was Moses. Jesus quoted Moses more than any other in the scripture, and David. Moses. Moses that was given a congregation for 40 years. Didn't have nice carpet and padded pews and heating and air conditioning. Didn't have a beautiful lit sanctuary. Didn't have electronics. Moses, that was given a congregation shepherd. One of the other prophets. You see, who is Jesus to you? So I ask our staff to share briefly this morning, and I want to share what they said. We'll start with Naomi. Naomi, where are you? Are you in here? Standing up in the back. Naomi says, "When I wake up in the morning, I thank Jesus for letting me rise.
When I lay down at night, I do not sleep before talking the day over with Jesus. In between these times, I spend my day asking for his help, thanking him for working out the details, and praising him for how he is moving in my life and in the lives of people around me. To me, Jesus is more than just a God. He is more than just the Messiah whose arrival was prophesied about in the Bible. He's more than just the Savior of the world who will come back one day to take us all to heaven. He is my first love and the one who meets my deepest desires. The one who provides for me in ways that would be impossible for a human. The one I run to in joy, in pain, and in between. All I have is his, and he is my everything. He is the reason I live. If from this point on, listen, he never spoke to me again, never revealed himself to me again, and never again provided for my needs, I would still worship him forever because he is my one and only hope. There is no one else. Robin, who just left without children. Robin's not here to defend herself. Jesus is everything to me. I love Jesus. He is my helper and guide. He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my Savior and my Lord. He gives me little hands to hold and strong arms to hold me. He puts me in time out when I need it. Ooh. And directs my path. He gives me wisdom when I call out to him and comfort when I have no words. He is forever with me in good times and bad. He is who I live for and who lives in me. He is the rock that never falters and my constant friend. In him I do not want. He is my all and my everything. Jesus loves me. This I know. Wow. Jeannie's not here today to defend herself. She and her family have taken a trip. Who is Jesus to me? Dottie Rambo, renowned and beloved songwriter of more than 2,500 songs, said it better than I could ever in 1975. For those of you that don't know, Jeannie used to sing. Her family sang in a gospel group. Master, Redeemer, Savior of the world, wonderful counselor, bright morning star, lily of the valley, provide a friend. He was yesterday, he'll be tomorrow. Beginning and end, Jehovah, Messiah, mighty God, King, bread of life, lasting words of love that I sing, light and darkness, door to the heaven, my home in the sky, the fountain of living water that never shall run dry. But the angel called him Jesus, born of a virgin. Mary called him Jesus, but I choose to call him Lord. You could fill the Library of Congress with the books and the commentaries and the opinions that have been written about who Jesus is. But at the end of the day, I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. It's my desire to honestly say that he's the Lord of my life. I don't always reflect it, but I strive for it to be true. That's how my life has become worth living. Leon. Merry Christmas. I love Leon. We're joined at the heart, as all of our staff. Jesus Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. We have a theologian's perspective here. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross, Colossians 1, 15 and 20. Therefore, Jesus is my Savior. He is my Lord and the Redeemer of my soul. He is my provider, the one who upholds me in his hands, the one who sustains me in everything and through everything. Praise God for the holy birth of his Son, Jesus. For Jesus is my life. Hallelujah. Have a blessed Christmas in Jesus. Last but not least, Jared, wave at us back there. Yeah, our youth director. To me, Jesus is. And this is the simplest of the simplest. And I just asked the staff to do this because I wanted to share it with you all. I hope you realize what a wonderful staff you have at this church, excluding me. You are blessed, Dutch Fork. to have the staff that you have. Jared's little nephew, by the way, has been in intensive care in Lexington Hospital. Remember him in your prayers, his sister's son. My Lord, who is in charge of me, my life, and my eternal future. My Savior, who is constantly saving me from myself and this evil world. My brother and friend that will not and cannot let me down. My second chance at becoming what I was created to be. The change in my life that I strive toward. Forgiveness, grace, and truth. God incarnate. You were privileged from Jared and Naomi's ministry in the early part of the service to enjoy those youthful youth. I would love to be able to dance like that. Who is Jesus to you? Well, if you got your newsletter this week, I shared with you a little acrostic of Christmas. So this is going to be an acrostic on Jesus. Pull your pens out. You have a bulletin. Start writing. There's a J. I said I wasn't going to sing, but you know what my favorite Christmas carol is? Huh? Joy to the World. Yes, it is. Joy. He's my joy. Is he your joy this morning? In the midst of all that's happening in your life, he said, I came that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be half empty. Was that what he said, church? No, he said that your joy might be full, overflowing, abundant. Joy. He's my joy. My joy. He is the joy of my life. He's the justifier of my soul. There's nothing that I can do to earn God's love. There's nothing that I can do to receive God's mercy. There's nothing that I can do to make my life right in the presence of an almighty, holy, and just God. But when Jesus justified Johnny Muller, I want you to know he justified me as if I had never sinned and nailed all those sins to the cross in my behalf. He's my justifier. I'm justified this morning. Not in the eyes of men, perhaps because they look on man, but God looks on the heart. And God knows my heart. And when I fail and I confess and I turn and repent, he's there to justify me again. When the enemy brings a railing accusation against me and reminds me of my humanity, he is my justifier. Are you justified this morning? Are you filled with his joy? But oh, he's the great Jehovah. You remember what God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh? You tell him that I am sent you. There are seven I ams mentioned in John's gospel. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father by me. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He is Jehovah God, Emmanuel, God with me every breath of my life. When I lay down, he's God. When I rise up, he's God. Oh, but he's my Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. Everything that I need. My Jehovah Jireh. Whatever I need, he's already made it available for me. I have access through the Holy Spirit, through the presence of Jesus Christ. And he kind of reaches over and taps the Father. Well, actually, he taps the Father this way. See, he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And he ever lives to make intercession for me. I don't know about you. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, he's my Jehovah Jireh. Oh, but he is my Jehovah Nissi. He's my banner. He's my banner. He goes before me in every trial and every test and every trouble and every tribulation. He's already there before I get there. Nothing comes to me except it come through His hands first to me. Therefore, He always has my best interest at heart. He never makes a mistake. He is my Jehovah Nissi, my banner. Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. But oh, He's not only my Jehovah Nissi, He is my Jehovah Shalom. 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 He is my peace. My peace in the midst of the worst storm that can come into my life. When there's a breakup of a home or a family. When there's a loss of a job. When there's a loss of a loved one. When I stand at a grave and I wonder when I lose all my earthly goods. He is my peace. Job had that peace, remember? 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 Though He slay me, yet will I serve Him. Oh, but He's my Jehovah Shammah. My Lord who is always there. When I lie down, He's there. When I wake up, He's there. He kisses me goodnight. He wakes me up in the morning. The alarm clock. How many of you woke up by the alarm clock this morning? Not really. You see, none of us would hear the alarm clock unless He let us hear it. Amen? You see, He wakes us up every morning. And then He renews. Listen to me. He renews His mercy to us as fresh as the morning dew. I don't have leftover mercy from yesterday. I have fresh grace and mercy today. As fresh as the dew. Oh, but listen. We're still on the J's. We haven't got to the E yet. He is my Jehovah Tiskanu. Don't worry about writing that one down. That was hard for me to spell too. He's my righteousness. You see, all my righteousness is as filthy rags. And then you fade as the leaf. But I am made righteous because of Him and what He did in my behalf that I could never do. But oh, listen. Colton, did you know He's your Jehovah Rapha? Did you know that, son? Do you know what Jehovah Rapha means? Good. I'm going to tell you, He's your healer. He's your healer. There isn't a diseased body that He cannot heal. He caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. But He heals most of all shattered hearts. Shattered hearts that have been shattered by relationships that we've placed our trust and our confidence and our faith in, and that we thought were going to be permanent and secure and lasting and forever enduring. And we have shattered hearts. He's my Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer. Well, we come to the E. He's my emancipator. You remember the Emancipation Proclamation? The Emancipation Proclamation was one of the greatest things that happened from a human standpoint. It happened many years ago, all the way back in Genesis 3:15, when God said, I'm going to send a Redeemer, and that Redeemer is going to set you free from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one day set you free from the presence of sin. Hallelujah. Can I shout? You that are guests this morning, I'm Baptist, but I'm also Pentecostal. And I may be Catholic too. Hey, it's for everybody. The gospel is for everybody. He's my emancipator. He delivers me from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, from the presence.
presence of sin. Hallelujah, he sets me free. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you
the E's were kind of hard to come up with. But he is my encourager. Oh, he encourages me all the time. I was kind of in the dumps. I was having a moment. And Roma read me the devotion. And it was about a person's call. And you see, I have to tell you all this because he is my encourager. Sometimes I don't understand how he could even use me. But you see, it's not my gifts. Don't miss what I'm about to say. Please hear what I'm about to say here. Don't miss it. Please hear it. It's not about how good we are and what we have and what we can offer. It's about who he is. And listen to me. He chose you this morning. And look up here. Don't miss this. He doesn't choose failures because he didn't create failures. Study everybody from Genesis to Revelation. Study all of the prophets from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll find out that every one of them had some human flaws. So don't get real big-shouldered and top hat and strut your stuff when you think God's really doing something through me. The reason he's doing it is because he called you and he is your encourager. I'm sorry, Leon, I'll buy it, I'll replace it. Never leave a microphone around a preacher. When I married Miss Roma, my mother sat her down. She said, he can walk within 10 yards of a wire fence and it'll jump out and grab him.
He's my example, church. He's the one I look to. He's the one he's the model of my life. He's my role model. He's the one I look to every day. He's my example.
But oh, listen to me, he's the excellent one. And I know I've got to hurry. I've got to finish this. So that leads us to the first S. And if y'all missed this one, he's my Savior.
He's my Savior. Is he your Savior this morning? Have you come to the place in your life that you know, that you know, that you know, that you've been blood washed and blood bought, and that you're born again, and that you're a child of God by the free grace of God
through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you can be. He's my Savior. He's my substitute. He took my place.
He died for me. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He is my sacrifice. He paid the price that I could not pay.
He's my sanctifier, and he is my salvation. So that brings us to the U. Remember I said he wakes you up every morning? He's the unction in my life. You know why at my age I'm still still here? Well, thank you, Dutch Fork, for choosing Roma and I. You have won a special place in our hearts and our lives. Roma and I were talking about this week. By most men's standard, I shouldn't be where I am. Most pastors my age have already been put out to pastor. Did you get that? But you chose me through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He is my unction every morning when I wake up. I promised you when I came here, under the authority and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, I would do everything within my power, humanly speaking, to have a fresh word of God for you every Sunday morning when you came here. I want you to know that God still speaks to me. He is my unction. He is my unifier. He is my uttermost. Hallelujah to his name. I just want to shout, Leon. You want to shout?
Amen.
He is my uttermost, church. Well, that brings us to the last S. Get ready. He's my support team. Boy, when everything's against me, or I think that everything's against me, and I think people that are against me, you know, the devil can plant all kinds of thoughts in your head if you let him. Even the preachers. And there's two preachers at least in this service this morning. And if amen, brother? Kind of a little weak there. But thank you anyway. He is my, listen to me, he is my support. He's always on the sideline cheering me on. But listen to me, he's doing the same for you. You're in a battle. Every day when you get up to go to work, you're in a battle. You're dealing with everything imaginable out there in your homes, in your families, in your job, and in your vocation. He is your support. He is your fan base. He's cheering you on. But oh, listen to me. He's the Rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. It can be a cloudy day, but he's shining bright. And his fragrance, once you smell it, you can never get enough of it. The Rose of Sharon. Oh, but he's my security. You know that, Chris? I'm in his hand and no man can pluck me out. My Father who gave them to you, gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man can take you out of my Father's hand. He is my security. Please don't misunderstand what I say when I say that. I can never, never, never be unborn. I can never, never, never be lost again. Because he is my security. He is my Sabbath, my rest. He is my sanctuary, the place I run to worship. He is my shield and my defender. He is my shepherd. He is my strength. He is my sufficient one. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he? Is he your Savior? Can you go back to that place in your life where you bowed your heart and you knew at that moment that you were born into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, into the presence of God? Not by works of righteousness which you had done, but by his finished work on Calvary's cross. You see, he didn't come to stay in a manger. I love Christmas. Rome will tell you I love Christmas. I get excited about Christmas. I have to tell you this little story. Rome and I went to bed the other night. And if somebody wanted to rob us, they could rob us blind. And I'm laying there half asleep, and all of a sudden I see this shadow coming down the hall. You see, Daddy doesn't climb anymore, but Daddy can't do a lot of things with his hands anymore. That's the farthest that hand will open. I can open it, but it won't stay open. And my fingers won't work anymore. And Roman and I are laying there in the bed, and we're both sound asleep. And all of a sudden, I wake up, and I see this shadow coming down the hall. And I recognize that little trim figure. I say, Joni? And Roman pops up in the bed, Joni? They watch me turn the light out in the family room. That's the danger in letting children have keys to your house and into your tool shed. They went in the tool shed, got all of the yard decorations out, and while Roma and I were asleep in bed, one solid hour and a half, they were decorating our yard. What do you say for children like that? That come over at 10:30 at night. I remembered When I turned the lights out, I saw the motion sensor light come on at the corner of the carport. But I paid it no mind because Alvin turns it on all the time. I love Christmas. I love Christmas. I love Christmas. But I love Jesus even more. As wonderful as this season is, don't get lost in it. So much so that you miss Jesus. Will you pray with me?